Blog Talk Radio.
This is Larry Lane with Lane Architecture Plus Design, and welcome to another session of our radio program where we share our passion of architecture by giving stories and also sharing ideas that you can use on your everyday life. Well, welcome to another exciting show today. I am really excited today about what we have planned. Today we're going to talk about modernist residential designs, homes. What is modernist residential design? Where can you find modernist homes? Oh, by the way, what's the difference of modern design and contemporary? Well, I have an expert on the line here, and he's going to share the answers to some of these questions and a lot more. And I want to welcome now Mr. George Smart. Welcome, George.
Thank you so much, Larry.
I really appreciate that. Now, George, would you go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience and let them know who you are and what makes you an expert on modernist homes?
Well, I was minding my own business late one night about 3 years ago doing a Google search for modern design in my area. And now 3 years later, I find myself directing a nonprofit organization which is running one of the largest websites in the world for residential design.
Wow. And then, so you were just Googling for modernist homes, and you found a fancy, you already had a fancy towards them. Is that why you were looking it up?
Or? I did. I grew up as the son of an architect. I've always had appreciation for good design and was thinking about designing a house for myself. So I got on the web and started searching and didn't find very many, although I knew there were quite a few in my area, which is the Triangle area of North Carolina. That's Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill, most famous for basketball, barbecue, and Clay Aiken.
Well, I'm originally from Texas, George, and I understand that, except instead of basketball, it's football, barbecue, and I think Troy Aikman. So it's kind of the same thing there. But so you're from the Triangle of North Carolina then?
Yes.
And then you have a website, you said, and that you have archived, I believe, some homes. And we'll talk a little bit more about the archive, but what is that website?
The website is TriangleModernistHouses.com.
Okay. Oh, by the way, listeners, if you would like to call in and offer your comments or ask a question to George or myself, feel free to call at 646-595-2228. George, let me go ahead and ask you a little bit just to kind of get the foundation of what modernist design is. What is that exactly?
Well, modernist design really emerged in the 30s and 40s, very popular in the western part of the country in California, and moved more east. The first thing that started was houses along the L.A. corridor, mm-hmm. And they were brought there by Frank Lloyd Wright and many of his direct lieutenants mm-hmm. who were there on his behalf working in the area. Modernism has certain features that tend to span across time. It's characterized by combining traditionally common areas that are separate, like the living room and the dining room, mm-hmm. An open interior floor plan, often with higher ceilings than typical, mm-hmm. The use of glass, extensive glass to bring the outside in, and a flat or low-pitched roof, use of concrete and steel very often, and long exposed beams. Mm-hmm. So if you see most of those characteristics I mentioned in a house, odds are it's of a modernist design.
So when you say modernist design, is that the same as contemporary?
No, contemporary really came later. Like most things, modernism had a life cycle. It peaked in the 50s. And by the 60s or early 70s, the public had grown tired of modernist design. And then contemporary design kicked in, which borrowed from modernism. For instance, some of the open plans, some of the higher ceilings, but didn't include nearly the use of glass or some of the same kind of materials, and became a different form in itself.
With you being over there in North Carolina, in the Triangle of North Carolina, George, what is the significance of modernist homes there? Why are you interested in it in that part of America?
Well, I was just initially interested for myself to look about building a house, but I discovered upon doing some research that we are the third largest concentration of this style of houses in the country.
In the country?
In the country. It's amazing. And the reason for this is because of North Carolina State University. In the late 40s, the school started a new school of design, which was headed by a man named Henry Camp Hefner. He came from Oklahoma, and that was a focal point for modernist architecture across the country. The outstanding faculty that was attracted, and the students, and then later the alumni, created several hundred houses here. We probably have about 400 houses that were done by NC State graduates and the faculty. And I have on the website pictures of almost all of them and where they are and their histories.
Well, 400 in a triangular area of North Carolina sounds like an awful lot. Is that a lot?
That is quite a lot. Modernism, even at its peak, was not really a giant trend in America. I would estimate that only about 0.25% or less of all the housing stock is of this type.
In your area of North Carolina, you mean?
Across America.
Oh, across America. So
and in some places, you won't find hardly any.
I'd be. Huh. Well, are they still very popular in the North Carolina area?
Well, they are here because the school continues to thrive and is doing very well. Also, the website has brought a lot of attention to these both locally and nationally, so people are wanting to move here. I get several calls a week from modernist fans across the country who've seen the site and want to find out what's available to purchase. So we have a section on the website called For Sale, where you can get information about modernist houses on the market.
Now, you're archiving the modernist homes in that area. Is that on your website? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes.
And do you also archive houses outside of that area?
About 4 months ago, we wanted to start cataloging the real masters of modern design, the big names that most people know or have studied at some point. And so, for instance, we started cataloging the houses of Richard Meyer, of Charles Guathmey, John Lautner, Pierre Koenig, Harwell Hamilton Harris, Eero Saarinen, and Richard Neutra. Oh. And now we have about 600 houses, mostly from California, cataloged on the site with about 1,200 pictures.
Wow. My gosh, what inspired you to take such a monumental task of surveying all those?
Well, it's just sort of one thing leads to another, and the site has really become so large now, and we have so many volunteers, that it was a community effort.
Now, you're not an architect, are you, George?
I am not an architect.
What do you
do? My interest is mostly genetic, not professional. For work, I've been an executive coach since 1991. Corporations and small business owners hire me to help get them to the next level.
Oh, okay. All right. By the way, how can people get in touch with you if they needed it? I'll ask this again later on, but is there a telephone number or an email, or should this go to the website?
They go to the website, which is trianglemodernisthouses.com, and right up at the top there's a gray contact button. Just click that, and you'll be emailing me.
I see. Well, I did go to the website, and I saw that there's several articles, and it looks like there's a lot of photographs. How many photographs of modernist homes do you have on there?
Last time that I counted, it was around 5,600.
Wow. Goodness gracious. And then you mentioned that you are also showcasing some of the great textbook architects, and I did see some icon pictures of that, and I guess you just click on that, and it would take you to some of their examples.
It takes you right there. You'll see their photos right on the home page,
mm-hmm.
and you can click their picture or the links.
Gotcha. And I also notice on your website that there, like you said, that there are people who want to buy modernist homes, and they check out your website. But if you're archiving them, is that the main reason why you're doing that? Is in order to just resell them?
No, the main reason we're doing it is that a lot of these homes are becoming endangered.
Hmm.
In our area, particularly in Raleigh, modernist houses are being bulldozed to make way for very, very large homes.
Hmm.
And what's tragic is that modernist houses really aren't just houses. They're sculpture that you live in.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we're bulldozing modernist design, we're really tearing down art, and it's just a tragedy.
Hmm.
So our job is to create both a public access to know about these houses
hmm.
and to create a historical record, because a lot of them aren't around anymore.
So if they're for sale, is there any conflict on trying to sell these modernist homes, or are you kind of like the orphanage that you're checking out the potential buyer to make sure that they're going to be in good hands, or how does that work?
Well, I certainly don't have any regulatory authority over anybody.
Although it would be kind of nice, wouldn't it?
But typically when people call me, they are modernist fans who want a home like this for their own,
mm-hmm.
and they're not looking to develop it.
Mm-hmm. And then has a website helped sell these and save them and preserve them thus far?
Yes, we have probably been involved directly in about a dozen different transactions.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not realtors and we don't make any money off of these, but we're trying to connect up the homeowners who are selling them with very interested buyers.
Mm-hmm.
And because if a modernist house is allowed to be empty, or vacant for a while, it tends to attract vandals, it tends to deteriorate, and that's just really the kiss of death.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me a little bit more about what the Triangle Modernist Houses.com does besides archive and also illustrate some homes that are for sale.
Well, although our main function is historical preservation, we have a very well-developed outreach program. We conduct tours in this area of a number of the different houses, and we've had as many as 400 people come on our tours.
Hmm.
These happen about every 45 to 60 days. We'll have one of local architect Max Isley coming up on January the 9th, and then over Christmas we'll be working on the rest of our 2010 schedule. We're also traveling. We're doing our first out-of-town trip to the New York area, towards the end of January, where we'll be visiting the Aerosarinen Terminal at JFK. We'll be visiting with Richard Meyer and his model gallery, and then we'll be traveling up to Darien, Connecticut to the Smith House, which made him famous back in the 60s, and then concluding the tour with a visit to the Museum of Modern Art for the Bauhaus exhibit.
Oh, I saw that, and I strongly recommend it. And you know what? When I went to the MoMA to see that exhibit, from what I've learned a little bit about people's enthusiasm of modern design and so forth, they don't quite understand all the ins and outs of it. And once you learn kind of, for instance, the background of Bauhaus and what makes
mm-hmm.
it significant, how mm-hmm. they explore different materials and how they could actually make it more reproducible, where they can reproduce it in more of a factory and make it more available to the common man, then the light kind of went on over their head, and they actually started to appreciate the design, the modern design of the furniture, the textiles, the architecture, and so forth. And it was really, really fun to see people just get absorbed into that. And I'm sure that people actually kind of had that same reaction when they start delving into your website and into your passion of modernist architecture. Do you see that?
I certainly do, and nothing's better than having somebody email me and say, I found your website last night, and I was just up for hours.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. Well, that's quite a great way to you know, that pays for itself all the time when you
absolutely
are able to share something that you have passion about, and then other people are reaffirming that that's something they share as well. Well,
and
when you come up, go ahead.
What's also great is that we have an extremely extensive and detailed archive of North Carolina architecture. About 125 different North Carolina architects, both present and past. And what is one of the best things for me is talking with the families of architects that have passed away sometimes decades ago, who've been forgotten. And we have profiles of these men on the site with their pictures and their biographies, and it brings what their contribution was to life again. And that's really one of the most heartwarming things that I do.
Mm-hmm. You also have design films besides the house tours,
mm-hmm.
don't you?
We have a movie series.
And how does that work? Is that on the website, or do people join into some gathering? What do you do there?
Well, while we do have videos on the site, short clips of various houses, we started up a movie series last week, which will be four movies about architecture. We're partnering with a local art house to put these on four different nights between now and the end of April.
Wow.
And we bring in films like Visual Acoustics, which is about Julia Schumann, the architectural photographer, who worked with everyone from Wright to Lautner to Neutra. We're going to be doing a film of Infinite Space, which is about John Lautner's work. And for fun, we'll be screening The Lake House, which is a Sandra Bullock, Keanu Reeves romance from a couple of years ago, where the real star of the movie is a house that was built explicitly for the film and was destroyed after the film was shot because they built it in an estuary so as not to have any other houses around it. And the deal with the conservators for the estuary was it had to be taken out once filming was complete.
You're saying it's just for fun. I think all that sounds like a lot of fun. You also mentioned that in the Triangle area, that there are actually it has the third most concentrated groupings
yes.
of modernist homes. What are the other two? And I think
LA is number one
uh-huh.
by far. LA has been known for its architecture for a long time. And certainly it has the longest history of great houses. That's one of the reasons we started to add them to the site. The Chicago area is number two. We are number three. And the New Canaan, Connecticut area is number four.
Which explains a little bit about why you are wanting to go out to New Canaan, I'm sure, and see at least some of the examples out there. Isn't that right?
Well, we won't make it there yet. We'll probably plan a trip there for later in 2010 or 2011. This coming trip is to Darien, which is on the coast, and it's a little further away from New Canaan.
Well, when you come up to New York City, give me a call at 212-594-2007, and I'd like to piggyback on just one afternoon, if I could, just to say hello to you.
Well, if your listeners in New York are interested in coming with us, we have some day tickets available.
Excellent.
They can buy those at the website. They're very inexpensively priced. They can join us at JFK when we fly in and spend all day and evening with us and then leave after that.
And then let me ask you a little bit about the modernist houses. And are they even more popular now, or do people buy them over the contemporary homes? Is it a hot item on the market?
Well, it's one of these things. Most people, Larry, just don't like them.
Why not?
Well, it's just because it's one of those things that you either like them or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just start polling people in general, they might say a modernist house is interesting, but they would never live there.
Hmm.
Then there's a small segment of folks like you and me who are very passionate about them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the group that I have brought together into a really very exciting community here in the Triangle of people that are getting together and coming to events.
Mm.
Now, the building of these houses is picking up somewhat.
Right.
Because they're getting more attention. The older ones are now passing that magic 50-year mark, where they can come under historic preservation protection.
Mm-hmm.
So there are more modernist houses in the news, particularly in some of the communities in California.
Mm-hmm.
And people are trying to figure out ways to build one for themselves.
George, let me interrupt this real quick. I do have a telephone call in. Let me go ahead and cue them in, and let's see if they have a question or not. Could we do
all
that?
Right. Sure.
Let's see what we have here. Hello, do you have a question or a comment for George?
Yes, this is Ellie Ezra.
Hello, Ellie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Welcome on the show.
Thank you. Quick question for you, George. I publish a newspaper for the Jewish community in New Jersey, about 20,000 copies a week that go to 9 counties. I was just wondering if there's something in all of this that I might be able to publish in the form of an article for our paper.
Oh, certainly. I would love to do that. And, you know, the Jewish community were initially the major patrons of modernist design. A very high percentage of the clients for these houses were Jewish. So it would be something that we'd love to put together for you.
Oh, that would be great. All right. Well, I'll contact you either directly or through Larry Lane.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Well, I'll certainly get Ellie's contact information and relay that over to you, George.
Thank you, Ellie.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling, Ellie.
Good show. I've been listening in. Thank you.
Fantastic.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Well, that's super. That'll be a great way to share some of the information also.
Yeah.
With a great following. From what I understand is with the modernist homes, when they're actually on the market, some people are a little leery of them because they sometimes have a reputation of leaky roofs or maybe all the glass maybe at the time wasn't insulated glass, so it's not as energy efficient. Have you found that to be the case in some of the houses in your area?
Oh, it's a well-deserved reputation, I can tell you that. I mean, these houses were just light years ahead in their design, so far ahead, in fact, that they exceeded the capability of some of the materials.
Mm-hmm.
The flat roofs, for instance, were notorious for leaking. But the good news is that now in 2009 and shortly 2010, material science has caught up with modernist design. So virtually anything that you can put down on paper, you can construct in a way that will be sound.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a great boon for people who want to build one themselves. They don't have to worry about things that have been problems in the past.
Okay. All right. Well, then also with, you know, I agree with you, and with the green design, the LEED type of certification, we can now use the same philosophies of the mid-century design philosophies of modernist design in our new technology and still have the advantage of having a lot of sunlight and having the sculptural walls and the play on shadows and the different parts of the day. That's one thing I find so exciting about modern architecture is that just the natural light plays such a major part in how we experience the space. And as the days and the seasons travel around the year, our perception of that space can vary also. And it's just so dynamic. And it's not as static. And in my mind, a lot of the, regular run-of-the-mill type of houses with a kind of a colonial look. Those are very nice, and they have their place, particularly in our northeast area, because it's historical as well. But the modernist goes, I think, so many steps further, and allows us to have open spaces to actually experience the light and the dark, and being able to have different materials put in there that I think can really highlight the space. I can go on and on, obviously.
Oh, me too.
My experience in modern architecture is even way beyond working with Ian Pei, and working with him, I just learned even a more deeper appreciation of modern architecture. And he played off of, he has his own philosophies, but a lot of it came from Gropius and also Le Corbusier. And from what I'm seeing, many of the homes that are designed in the Triangle area is also influenced by similar people, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Larry, there's some people probably listening to you now I want to talk to directly, and that is there's probably people listening right now who have spouses who don't like modern, and they do. And so they're listening to the show trying to think, well, what can I do to persuade my wife or husband to get on board with me here? And my advice to those people is to find a way to have you and your spouse spend the night in a modernist house, because you can't argue with somebody about the virtues of a house. And you can take them to it, but a visit won't often do it. People have to live in one for a day or two to get it. And because what they notice is after they've lived in one, after they've slept in one, woken up in one, they realize that the house is having an effect on them that typically is very relaxing, easy. The house seems to flow much better than your typical house. Nature interacts with you and with the house in ways that traditional houses don't. So if you're out there and you've got a spouse you're trying to convince, find a place to go.
That's really good advice. You know, get them in there and they will get hooked.
Mm-hmm.
And then go ahead and check out your website at TriangleModernistHomes.com. And I think they'll learn, have a lot deeper appreciation towards that type of design. You had mentioned to me offline about a house that is the Catalano house, is that correct?
The Catalano house,
yes. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. The Catalano house was built in 1954 by Eduardo Catalano, who is now in Boston. He was a superstar young architect. He taught at the NC State School of Design, and he built this house for himself in the Raleigh area that became internationally famous. I mean, so much so that people in Europe and South America and even in China would know about this house.
Mm-hmm.
The house changed hands several times until, tragically, in 2001, it was bulldozed and made way for a developer to take it and build some new houses in its path. You can see, if you go to the website and look up Eduardo Catalano, pictures of the house over time. It was a hyperaboloid roof, the simpler description of which is like a giant potato chip, mm-hmm. like a Pringles potato chip with sharper edges. This was a breathtaking departure from traditional design, both in how the house looked from the outside and its sleek function on the inside. The reason for the demolition was actually more neglect than anything else. Unfortunately, the last owner got scared one night when a snake got in and left the property. It was later vandalized. The roof began to collapse. It was abandoned for a number of years and eventually was so far gone it couldn't be saved.
Mm.
I want to make sure that never happens again in our area.
Mm-hmm.
That's why by bringing all of these houses to people's attention, they can have their eye on them, and we can spot problems much, much earlier and do something about it.
Well, how can folks get involved?
They can get involved. We have a free mailing list. You can go on the site and just type in your email, and then we'll send you updates twice a week on things going on. We have tours, both locally and nationally. We put out news items on things happening in modernist architecture in general. And then, of course, locally we have things like the movie series. And that's all at TriangleModernistHouses.com.
Well, sounds great. Well, what are your future plans? You got some plans coming up where
We do. We have some great plans for tours primarily, and we hope this year to do some major fundraising to hire an executive director.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much, George, for coming on air with us and sharing about the modernist architecture, modernist design homes. It was a great pleasure having you here. How can they get back in touch with you?
They can reach me through the website at TriangleModernistHouses.com.
Fantastic. Well, that's it for today's show. Thank you for listening, and I'm looking forward to talking to you next week. And in the meantime, go check out the blog. If you missed this program, you can download it on iTunes or go to my blog at www.lanearchitecture.blogspot.com. But until then, I'll talk to you on Monday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Have a great week.